Hi, I'm Taylor Smurl, and I'm an experienced bartender.
And I'm Tommy Smurl. I'm an experienced drinker.
He's my dad, and together this is...
Neat! A weekly booze cast.
With history lessons, trivia, and a twist.
So pull up a stool to the bar and join us for the lowdown on your highball.
Welcome back to the show. Hey, Dad, how you doing?
Good, Tay. How you doing? Good to see you again.
Good to see you, too. I'm doing all right. Hey, tell me, did you have anything good to drink this week?
I have not had a chance to because I have been busy touring spookily to all the local elementary schools so we can teach everybody that even a square pumpkin has feelings and we should all be nice to each other even if we look different.
I'm guessing this is a theatrical performance.
Normally, it's our group from the outdoor theater, and we were asked by the Board of Education to put together a show and tour it to the schools. And so we've been doing that, and with quite a bit of success, actually. It's gone really well, very well received. The kiddos love it. It's kindergarten through second grade. So, you know, they're not exactly, you know, well, who were those guys that reviewed theater? Siskel and Ebert?
I think that's movies, but yeah.
Okay, well, you know what I mean. So, I mean, you know, we only have to be so good. So, it's entertaining. They get to get up and get around, and heck, they get out of class, so it's got to be better than that, right?
Well, that sounds great. I love pumpkins in all shapes and sizes, so square's okay by me.
That's good.
I keep wanting to buy all the stores in my neighborhood have pumpkins out, and I know it's too early to buy a pumpkin. If I carve it now, it'll be mush. But I mean, they last for a while. I could buy it now and just have a faceless freak in my house for a while.
Yeah, well, you could always paint it on, then it won't mush up as fast.
That's true.
We usually had a soupy pumpkin by Halloween Day because we would carve them early and let them sit out there and sometimes burn a candle. The candle doesn't help. Unmush them either. So it's been pretty fun. We've been doing that, and it was all leading up to Monday. We were rehearsing every day till late, and then this week we're having to get on the road at like 7 a.m. to get to a school and get started. Then as soon as we finish, we load everything up and rush to another school and do it there. So it has been pretty busy. Then this weekend we finish up with 2 outdoor performances at the amphitheater.
Well, that's fun though.
Yeah. We gave all the kiddos a ticket to take home, so if they want to bring their families to the show, they'll have 1 ticket to get in for free.
Oh. Well, I'm glad you all are starting the Halloween festivities early. We had good weather for that, I feel like. It's been kind of rainy and gross up here, so... I spent the weekend. I did a lot of cooking. I made some pumpkin chili. Don't let the pumpkins hear that. That's a little scary for them. But I drank a lot of pumpkin beer.
Yeah.
I'm making the most of it this year. I didn't drink anything out. It was such gross weather. I mean, it was perfect weather to just sort of sequester in my house in the evenings. But I did make some good drinks in my house. I rewatched Practical Magic, and I made a midnight margarita, my own take on it.
Yeah,
which was purple and sparkly and fun. I think I posted the recipe on the Neat Instagram and the Neat Twitter. So if you want to see that, you should check that out. But you should follow those both because I think that's where I'm going to be funneling all of my spooky cocktails for the season. So
yeah, I saw that. It looked good.
It was good. It was just a classic margarita. It was like a mixed tequila base of mezcal and reposado, some lime, and then for a little curacao. But then to make it magical, I used some lavender because they talk about lavender for luck in the movie.
Right.
And then some ube syrup, which not only makes it super purple, but also ube has a good vanilla flavor to it, and lavender and vanilla work mm-hmm. well. Like lavender on its own can taste a little too floral, a little too much soapy, but if you cut it with vanilla, it kind of takes that flavor out. Smoke also works really well with lavender. So that's why the mezcal was there. But that and it just a little black sea salt worked out really nice. It was sparkly and purple and spooky and it's good.
Yeah, it was nice and dark. I thought maybe you had coal dust in there. I wasn't sure.
No. Or like the I won't name names. I don't name and shame, but I saw an internet bartender, a TikTok bartender using activated charcoal in a drink. Don't do that.
Don't.
Well, okay. In high enough quantities, it can cause medications to be inactive. It can inhibit like your birth control, among other things. So just, you know, while it is a small chance that it might happen, I feel like there are other ways to make drinks black or very dark mm-hmm. colored. And at the end of the day, I would rather just put some food coloring in there than something that could inhibit medication. So there's my seasonal warning. Don't put activated charcoal in things people are going to consume. It's just not worth the risk.
I don't think I want to drink or eat anything that says charcoal.
Oh, it was very on trend a few years ago. You know, it was like, oh, everything. This is how we can make things like pitch black. And I mean, it is a cool effect. And there's always that desire to make things a fun color, but very naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I get it, but there are plenty of like there are high quality like food grade colorants out there. If you just really want that pitch black cocktail, you can use those. And they will not any amount of flavor you're going to get from activated charcoal, it's not any more or less than you're just going to get from a high quality food dye. So just don't risk it. Don't do it. It's just there are better ways to do it. Use dye. Nocino, certain types of Nocino are dark enough
to get
a nice pitch black color on your cocktail. And then you've got a flavor too. You've got a flavor mm-hmm. you can work with, and it's seasonal. And as we talked about on a Nocino episode, Nocino has witchy roots, so it's spooky. So if you want a black cocktail, why don't you try out a nice, rich Nocino cocktail?
Absolutely. They're delicious. But sometimes the color kind of sways you on the flavor too, because you remember a few years back that Burger King came out with a Whopper that had like the black bun on it for Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
And I love Whoppers. I love the hell out of Whoppers. But I couldn't eat one with a black bun. It just wasn't right. I kept thinking, it's rotten. I'm eating a rotten burger.
Well, I mean, we do, you know, our visuals impact our tastes. That's totally fine. It's not anything that's throwing off the actual palate, but I do think the visuals can sometimes.
Yeah, it was all in my head.
Yeah, and I mean, I get it. Like, when we see something, when we see a cocktail that's clearly artificially colored, there's absolutely a part of, I think, especially if you have, like, a more pretentious palate, like, oh, that's artificially colored, I don't want that. I get it. But if your goal is a spooky pitch black cocktail, do it in other ways. Actually, you know, the black luster dust, which mm-hmm. I use luster dust, and I will not apologize for using luster dust. Those are not just glitter, they're also dye, and the black luster dust will both make your cocktail pitch black and glittery. So
yeah, you use that in something that we did on a video a while back.
I can't remember. Did I do that on the Mothman one? I think I did it on the Mothman cocktail.
I think you're right. I think that's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah, just don't, you know, or like, I don't know. Or if you're going to use activated charcoal, which I don't think you should, make sure that anybody that consumes a drink knows what it can do and knows what's in it.
That's right. Make sure your charcoal is deactivated before you drink it.
No, just don't drink charcoal. Or don't put it in a cocktail because you think if your only goal in using it is a color, there are other ways to get the color. There. That's it. That's the point. That's the takeaway.
Okay.
I'm not going to get in. I'm not the doctor here. I'm just the bartender, and I wouldn't do it.
Well, I can tell you this. When I finish with Spookly, I'm going to need a long, long, long drink. You got any suggestions for that?
Well, I've got the perfect suggestion, specifically a long drink, the finish long drink.
Yeah, of course I'm going to finish my long drink. What do you think?
You better finish your finish long drink. So, the finish long drink is what we're talking about today. this was inspired actually just randomly by a canned cocktail I encountered the other day. My local liquor store just got this cute – they already had like a wine fridge, but then they got this other fridge and they've been filling it with just like to-go cocktails, which is so cute. And, you know, I've expressed here before that I have mixed feelings about canned cocktails. I feel like if it's something that should be shaken and aerated, it's cool that it exists. I would rather you make it fresh. But I do think there are certain formats that work really well in canned drinks. Like, things that are already meant to, they're not meant to be shaken. Like, either, you know, like a Negroni in a bottle or a can works fine because you're not aerating. You're just diluting it. Mm-hmm. You can do that absolutely, you know.
And you're not going to... You're not going to shake something that's carbonated, too. So.
Well, exactly. Like a seltzer drink works great. Mm-hmm. So I was really psyched to see them install this cute little fridge. And I check it anytime I go in there to see if they have any new things. And they did. The last time I went in there, they had something called... It was just a canned... It's a light blue can. And it was just called the Finnish Long Drink. I tried it out. Anything that sounds like just sort of a bubbly, fruity, boozy thing, I'm always chasing that high of the chew high. Chasing that chew high. So I tried it out and then it was advertised like a gin and grapefruit soda drink. And, man, I thought it was great. I enjoyed it. This specific brand, which I think this is the only one that's like canned in the US right now. And it is made here in America. It's made upstate. It's made in Utica. And I think they date back to like 2018, so very recent. It's basic. It's gin, grapefruit soda, 5.5%. It's nice and bright, not too sweet. A touch of botanicals, just really enjoyable. And a good alternative to less flavorful seltzers, hard seltzers on the market, I think.
You said this reminded you of a Chuhai with the flavor that it has in it as compared to most of the American seltzers, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Like a little bit, like it's not super sweet. It's not like a Alka-Pop kind of situation, mm-hmm. but it's just sweet enough and it's got a good brisk flavor to it. The way that the people that actually make this version, the one that this Finnish long drink, the brand name in America, they describe it as like a hard Fresca. And I do think that kind of works, you know, like how Fresca is not super sweet.
Right.
Kind of has that vibe, but yeah, definitely comes a lot closer to a Chuhai than a lot of the seltzers I've tried stateside. They also have I didn't find any of the other stuff in their range, but they have one with less sugar. They have a strong version that's like 8.5% alcohol, and they have a cranberry version somewhere out there. So I would like to encounter all of those. They all sound good. But while this one just hit the market here in 2018, the drink it is based on, the Finnish long drink of Finland, is a little bit older than that. So I want to talk about that drink.
But not a whole lot older.
Not a whole lot older. The Finnish long drink is an invention of 1952. But before we get there, I do want to give you just a little bit of setup of Finland's drinking history. Just a little bit.
All right. Set us up.
All right. So I thought this was interesting. We weren't the only ones suffering through prohibition in the 20s, in the 1920s. Finland had its own prohibition from 1919 to 1932. It was actually their second prohibition. They actually had one in like the 1756, but that was actually when Finland was still part of Sweden. So their first official prohibition, the first Finland-specific prohibition, was in 1919. And when it was lifted in 1932, there were very strict distribution laws put in place. So namely, they established Alko, which is like a state-run monopoly liquor store chain, which remains as the only place in Finland where you can buy alcohol over 5.5%, with the exception of like vineyards or like bars and restaurants can have cocktails, they can have higher alcohol drinks, but that is only for on-site consumption and you have to be licensed to sell it. So it's a bit of a different liquor market than what we're used to here. Lower things can be sold in grocery stores just like anywhere else, but anything above 5.5 is at the state or the country store.
So they have stricter rules with their alcohol usage there.
Yes. They also have interesting laws about even like advertising and portrayal of alcohol in advertising. Like For instance, no form of travel is allowed to be portrayed or mentioned in ads to dissuade the idea of, like, I mean, obviously, any, like, there specifically, there's a story of, like, a beer brand that had, like, a racing car on its label and, you know, like, a checkered flag as part of its logo. Like, that was outlawed because it combined cars and booze, or even like traveling to get a drink somewhere. So most most advertisements portray drinking at home. There is a
so it's just some guy there sitting in his Barca lounger, and hey, honey, bring me a long drink.
I guess that's fine. Also, like, sports stars can endorse alcohol. They're very strict about who is allowed to be part of advertisement. Cartoons can't be used on labels or in ads.
No children advertising drinking.
You can't advertise to children. Here in America, we're fine with that. Not in Finland. By the way, none of these laws are actually, do they seem like wrong to me? These all seem totally fair and logical.
Yeah.
Like, this is, alcohol's a drug. This is all totally like fair. Fair across the board.
Yeah, you can't make fun of a country that's saying, look, we don't want any drinking and driving. Well, no. You know, who can argue with that?
Don't advertise to kids. Don't pretend like alcohol will make you a famous athlete. Don't drink and drive. These are all fine. Also, like, don't advertise alcohol on its strength. Like, you can't specifically advertise the strength as a quality, like, as a something to buy an alcohol for, like, extra strong, you know?
So what'd you tell me, they encourage, like, no pants drinking or something like that?
Oh, well, okay, no. Yes and no. When I was doing my research, I came across there is a form of just like a tradition, a form of drinking, or just like sort of a colloquial term. I'm going to try to say it, and I apologize to any Finns out there listening. It's kalsarikanet, which roughly translates to pants drunk.
Pants drunk.
And that just refers to staying at home and drinking in your underwear or whatever comfortable clothes, with no intention of leaving. This is just a way to, you know, like, and the Finns drink a lot at home. You know, when you look at the dispersal of who drinks out versus who drinks, like, safely at home, it's more of a culture of home drinking than out drinking than, like, compared to the U.S. But I think that sounds great.
Yeah, they encourage you to stay in your house and drink alone. That's
in
better.
Not alone, but in your underwear, yes. With friends in your underwear. Well, not friends in your underwear. Like, just, you know.
If you have friends in your underwear, it's a party.
That's pants drunk.
Pants drunk and no pants drinking are probably two different things.
Pants drunk love. That's the Adam Sandler movie, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I will say, as far as just like home safely, comfortably, that's the only way I really drink anymore. I don't know. I think the pandemic, this came into like international context because people were referencing it as the way everybody was drinking during quarantine. And I certainly did. But now I feel like that's just the only way I want to drink now. Like, I don't want to sit at a bar, even if it's a really nice bar and the cocktails are really nice. I'm always stuck with that feeling of like, I just spent $15 on a drink that I could make in my house comfortably with my own music playing or a movie I want to see in my pajamas. My cat's there. Like, no bar has my cat, and that means that every bar is less good than my house.
And just wearing whatever you want.
Yeah. Oh. But anyway, so I feel like, you know, Finland seems to have a lot of, like, common sense drinking culture and drinking laws. Like, no, we're not going to – don't drink and drive. Don't advertise to kids. Drinking at home is awesome. I agree with all of this. Great job, Finland.
Good job, Finland.
Yeah. But they do have this monopoly on higher concentration alcohol, which factors into the creation of the Finnish long drink. So the Finns love beer. They love, like, proportionately from that, cider and wine. And then as far as they drink a lot of vodka. They're kind of in the vodka belt, as it's called. But cocktail-wise, the Finnish long drink is sort of the king. And that was, again, introduced in 1952, and it was as a bottled and ready-to-go product. So, you know, a lot of times we talk about a cocktail that ends up in a bottle as first living as a made cocktail and then getting bottled. The Finnish long drink was introduced actually as a bottled and ready-to-go drink. You know, a lot of these drinks that we talk about that end up as a bottled cocktail started out as being mixed, like, a la minute. But not so with the Finnish long drink. It was introduced as a ready-to-go bottled cocktail produced by Alko, that you know, national monopoly, in 1952, specifically to meet the demands for the influx of foreigners that they expected in 1952, because what was happening in 1952 in Finland?
The Summer Olympics.
Yep. The Summer Olympics were taking place in Helsinki, and they were anticipating a whole bunch of people who wanted something, anything other than beer or wine-like products. They wanted to have ready to go. You know, they had this sort of control on higher grade liquors, so vendors couldn't just have those at events, but they could make this pre-made cocktail that they could buy and serve. And that's where the Finnish long drink was devised. And there were actually two versions originally. There's the kind of the one we know more today, which is that gin and grapefruit soda idea. But there was also another one that was brandy and pomak, which was a soda. It was like a ready to go soda, which was made with fruit and berry flavors and then aged in oak barrels. So it was originally like the soda on its own was non-alcoholic, and it was meant to sort of be like a wine stand in. It sounds delicious, actually. I would love to find it.
Yeah, it sounds interesting.
Yeah, it was. Threatened with possibly being discontinued. It is still made today. There was like a will they, won't they a few years ago, but then there was enough public outcry that Pomak is still out there and available. I've never seen it in the States, but I'm sure you can find it around Europe.
You know, surprises me it was a Summer Olympics. I think of Finland, I think of snow and ice. So you'd think it would have been a Winter Olympics.
Well, no. It's Helsinki.
Yeah. You know, we've had a lot of different ones that we have covered that got their start either at a World's Fair or at an Olympics or something. And it, you know, there must have been a lot of thought that inspired people when they were having something in the area. We've got to create something. And that's where a lot of these drinks now that are popular have come from.
Well, it is a really smart opportunity to launch something like that too. Like to have the forethought of like, some people are going to want liquor. We have, I mean, also, like, there is the element, too, of, like, between kind of the same thing that happened in America, between a prohibition and multiple wars, Finland's distilling culture went through the same sort of destruction that ours did, but even more so in that they had these very tight liquor laws. So they only had so much liquor to offer, and they wanted to make sure that they were offering something consistent and good. So this sort of factored into it, too. But, you know, yeah, mm-hmm. Just be like, okay, people are going to want booze. Here's our gin drink. Here's our brandy drink. Those were two of the most popular spirits at the time. They were refreshing. They were a controlled amount of alcohol. So, you know, you're not getting people tanked. And they became ingrained in the sort of national identity. So it was a very smart move.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is it makes it very portable when it's like that. You don't have to carry a bunch of bottles and glasses to mix things and stuff like that. It's just right there in the can.
See, that's really like, I love the idea of any drink that you can make that does not need to be aerated, that is just soda and spirit and maybe like a sweetener or a citrus or something, bottled is great. Love that. Mm-hmm. The same place that I got this one has other like similar. They've got like, you know, like rum and cokes and stuff like that and little cans to go. And I think that's mm-hmm. great. But the long drink, you started out, you had the gin and grapefruit option, you had the brandy and pomac. By the 70s, the brandy long drink had fallen out of favor and was discontinued. And the concept of the Finnish long drink really became solely this gin and grapefruit drink. That became the identity of it. And the national, monopoly was just producing this one flavor. And that really stayed the way that it was under control, strictly limited to government production until 1995.
Wow.
Yeah. That is when Finland joined the EU.
Oh, okay.
So that they were no longer allowed. It's kind of, I think that the breakdown, I don't want to say it's boring. It's just, it's a lot of sort of complicated legal stuff that happened. Because there still is a monopoly with the, you know, the government-owned liquor production. But it kind of had to break down into different means of production. And part of that meant that other small companies could make things called finished long drinks and market them and put them in stores and have them in grocery stores, not just the government anymore. So,
well, I think their whole idea of economy probably had to change because they were just making enough for basically for Finland.
Right.
They weren't really in the process of exporting it to a bunch of other countries. So once they joined the EU and became more of a, you know, international group, then they probably had to rely on entrepreneurs to do things to increase the distribution and get that out if they wanted to, you know, play a role in that kind of thing.
Well, it also led to a lot of creativity. You know, you had smaller new brands hitting the market that would introduce other citrus flavors, orange, lemon, or other alcohol bases, you know, to get around that, you know, hard liquor cutoff to only be sold in Alco, in the government owned stores. If you wanted to just be in a regular grocery store, you had to be at a lower alcohol percentage. And so you could do like a cider base for your finished long drink and you'd still mm-hmm. have alcohol there, but you'd have infusions. So people started playing around kind of with the identity of the drink. And now it's just a whole category of drinks. You know, it's not just gin and grapefruit soda nowadays. It's lots of things, especially in Finland. You'll encounter lots of different varieties of this and the surrounding areas.
Because those ones you found, there were no choices. That was the only flavor or whatever, the only type, right?
Well, yeah, like before, when it was just the government-produced thing, it was, this is the finished long drink. It is a government product that is bought at the Alco. That is where you go to get it. Now you could have made one on your own. You know, you could have gotten gin. You could get overproof or high proof spirits at those stores as well. You made on your own, but as far as a bottled version, that was the one.
Right.
So then afterwards, it kind of opened up to whoever wanted to introduce their own take on it. This caught on in foreign markets too. You know, obviously, as I said, like there aren't brands from Finland here in America, but the concept is here. But there are brands from Finland in, like, it caught on really in the Asian marketplace, like Japan, China, Taiwan. There was some exporting there, which I do think, again, makes sense because to me it tasted a lot like a Chuhai. Like, I think that there was probably a market for that before we started doing the alcoholic seltzer thing. And I still don't know why we're not importing the far superior versions of that from other countries, but that's my own personal problem.
Yeah, I've never had one, but I want one just because of the way you've described them so fondly.
I mean, they're better, and I think that the bottled one that I had that's made here in the States, I thought it was very good. But yeah, so you know, they found an international marketplace, that Lost to the Ages brandy version was introduced to the market in the 2000s. So that's also available in Finland and surrounding areas. So it's definitely been reinvigorated in the modern era. But you know, it is a very simple drink. And I do think the couple points of interest about it are that it originated as a bottled drink. I think that's interesting. You know, the thing that it kind of sits closest to is the Paloma, which is a similar idea, but it is tequila-based, grapefruit soda, and lime juice. Mm-hmm. But that is generally mixed as a cocktail. You can find canned Palomas, and they're also great. But it originated first as a mixed drink and then just sort of evolved as very fitting for a pre-made canned drink. Whereas the finished long drink started that way.
The Paloma is just kind of a poor man's margarita.
I don't think it's a poor man's margarita. I just think it's a different margarita.
Well, it's like put ice in a glass, pour in a shot of tequila, and add squirt to taste.
And lime juice and a little salt if you're feeling fancy. I love a Paloma. Paloma is my favorite summer drink.
I'll have to try one. I'll tell you the truth. I'd never really heard of one. If I was going to make a drink like that, I would have made a margarita. But this sounds like it'd be so simple to just throw together and, you know, let's face it, just the soda type aspect of it makes it a little bit more light and refreshing.
Yeah, and I think it kind of, you know, there are different grapefruit sodas out there. Grapefruit soda is not like an incredibly popular thing, but there are brands out there. And you can also make it fresh. Like I worked at a bar. We did a really easy play on a Paloma that was just we used fresh grapefruit juice. We used soda water and then some agave syrup, like a grapefruit peel on top to kind of get the oils in there too. And it was really nice.
And it's funny. It traces back to like 1950 or 52 as well, but that's because they usually used squirt for it, and that's when squirt was invented. So that's why it came out about the same time as the long drink, but for, you know, different reason.
I think it's interesting, just by accident, the last handful of episodes here and there, we've talked about different cocktails that really just came about, like somebody made a soda. A mass-produced soda became available, and a very simple drink came from that. That kind of locked in with it, you know. Like obviously, you know, with the Cali Mocho, with the Paloma, with the what did we talk about the other week? I know there's a couple of these. We're just like, here's a soda. Now there's a drink. The Sherry Cobbler, that was just, or no, the the one with the lemon lime soda. But we're not doing anything different. You know, anybody that kind of turns their nose up about putting like a soda in a cocktail, in essence, they're not anything different than what you're doing in a lot of these drinks. You are making a syrup. Every soda breaks into just a syrup and CO2. Like that's it. Seltzer, something.
Well, I mean, one of the things kind of, I don't know if you call it beer production or not, but one of the things in the beer category is your hard root beer. They've got that going on now, you know?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of them that are, they're bottling it and selling it as hard root beer. So there's just a lot of different things there with sodas kind of come back more in vogue with drinks, mixing them in there, it seems like.
Well, I do think that, you know, it's kind of a mixed bag, but I do think in the case of the Finnish long drink, it just makes sense. Grapefruit and gin go well together. Those are natural complements to each other. And it's one that, you know, it's even if you made it fresh, I don't think you would make it fresh and it would necessarily be any better than if you made it correctly and put it in a can. Like, your quality is insured either way. And when I see like a canned margarita, I'm like, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Like, how long did that? That's not lime juice. That's citric acid. That's fine, but it's not the same. But I do think you can get a pretty decent, if you're starting with grapefruit soda and gin, you can't fuck that up too bad in a can.
Well, you even changed my mind on, can you even get a good margarita if you're using a batch type thing, not even with the alcohol, just the mix itself. You know, when you've had one that you mix from scratch as opposed to with a batch, it's just so much different.
Yeah. Well, that is my, like, I do not always, I'm a big fan of, like, if I don't like something, I'm not going to tell you why it's bad on this show. I'm just not going to talk about it. And that's why a lot of the canned cocktails that have come about, I just, you know, they're out there. That's for you. But if I'm going to bring something up, it's because I like it. And I think that this is something that makes sense. It makes sense to put this in a can and make it readily available and easy. And it's good. It's good.
Yeah.
If there are other brands doing something similar, that's possible. You know, it's not a top secret, super special recipe. This company that's making these Finnish long drink cans, it's not wildly original, but it is tasty, and that's what matters at the end of the day.
That's right. And keep that drink around for a long, long time.
Wow. So I don't know. If you run across them, check them out. If you're a fan of Palomas or Greyhounds, that's kind of the weird, like, family of cousins in this, you know. Greyhound is gin and grapefruit juice, not grapefruit soda. Or the Salty Dog, where you do gin, grapefruit juice, and then you just put some salt on the rim and it's a whole other cocktail.
You Salty Dog.
And you know, I feel like a little bit of a salt in a finished long drink would be really good.
Yeah. Try it anyway.
There you go. There's the history of the Finnish long drink and a little bit about drinking in Finland. If you have other stories or anecdotes about drinking in Finland, I'd love to hear them. I did look up how to say cheers in Finland.
How do you say cheers in Finland?
Kippis.
Kippis?
Yeah. Which the most consistent origin story there is that it comes from Germanic kippen, which means to tilt or tilt over, basically bottoms up, you know? There is this other story that just it's popular enough that I feel like it's worth mentioning, even though I feel like it's probably not true, which is that it comes from when immigrants from Finland first started arriving, they were told to, they were like a rowdy crew that liked to drink, and they were told to keep the peace. And so they would say it as keep peace, we keep peace in your establishment. I don't know about that story, though. I think that's just a fanciful story that sounds nice, but probably it's just the Germanic word.
Well, that could be. I'll go along with the tip over thing, though, because, see, if you drink enough long drinks when you're drunk pants, then you'll tip over.
When your pants drunk.
Yeah, or no pants.
Pants drunk. Not sans culottes. That's French. However you like to drink, pants or no, I recommend. And whether you mix one up at home or you find one bottled or canned on your shelf, check out the Finnish long drink. Yeah, there you go. Cheers.
There you go.
Kippies. All right. Well, thank you, Dad, for being here.
Well, thank you, Tay, for having me. I always learn something, and you know, you learn that the Olympics encourage drinking.
They just accounted for it. Thank you all for joining us. If you want to find us on social media, we are Neat Boozecast on Twitter and Instagram. We are neattheboozecast@gmail.com. If you'd like to email us with any questions, episode ideas, we love those. If you'd like to support us, we have a Patreon. You can be one of our patrons. That's where our videos go once a week. We put up videos where we make drinks with previous topics, booze. You also can have bespoke cocktails custom made for you by me and Dad, so check that out if that sounds interesting. You also get coasters, stickers, all sorts of stuff. If you would like to talk about your experiences with any Finnish long drinks, palomas, grapefruit in general, whatever, how do you feel about grapefruits? Do that over on
Neat the Boozecast group page on Facebook. You can finish your drink.
Finish your long drink. All right. Well, hey, I've been Terry Smurl.
I've been Tommy Smurl.
And this has been
I drink two long drinks and got to the finish, cause I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. That didn't rhyme as good as I thought it would. You had to get spinach in there to rhyme with finish.
I believe you're not allowed as an athlete to endorse alcohol, so I think Popeye qualifies as an athlete, and I think that was illegal. You just implied.
Well, he also qualifies as a cartoon, so he's got us on two accounts.
Oh, that's both, yes. Yeah. And he's on a boat. That travels.
Oh, no. We just got the trifecta. Man, they're going to come arrest me.
Then they're going to arrest Popeye.
I'm not going near Helsinki, I'll tell you that.